come out, whether we're visiting or whether we're regularly part of this church, whether we're church members or just part of the congregation normally, we've come together to be part of this church. And we're very much thinking together just now, well, what sort of church would we like to become? And many people who are in leadership of churches or are part of churches say, well, actually, rather than trying to copy another type of church, an institutional church that's already around, why don't we look back to the early days of the church and try to be like that early church? Why don't we go back to the days of Acts 2 and try to be like the church that we've just read about and heard about just now? Why don't we try to get back to those days when the church was focused on God, where Jesus was at the center and obedience to Jesus was seen as really crucial, and where the power of God in the form of the Holy Spirit was clearly visible and undeniably present? Gordon MacDonald said, the world can do almost anything as well as or better than the church. You don't need to be a Christian to build houses, he said, feed the hungry, or even heal the sick. There's only one thing the world cannot do. It cannot offer grace. Where else in our world can people go to find grace? Well, over those past few weeks, we've been thinking about our church vision. And we said we want to be a community where Jesus is encountered and lives are transformed. And I've said quite a few times now, if you go to our church website, which is a kind of one-stop shop for all the information about what's going on in church life, you'll find that statement. And round about it, you'll find different words that we believe will try to make that statement become a living reality for us as a church. So we've thought about things like mission. We have a church that will look out and will serve our community in faith and under the power of God. We said that we believe we are a church family. Not an institution, but a family, with all the pluses and all the minuses that comes with that imagery. We believe in prayer and the Bible. And today we're thinking about the Holy Spirit. What have we said about the Holy Spirit? We said we believe that a church led by the Holy Spirit has the power to change our community and our world. Some interesting words there that I think are really good to focus on this morning. A church, that must be us, led by the Spirit, has the power to change our community and our world. I think that is a radical statement. I'm not too sure if we realized how radical it was when we wrote it down. And as we come to unpack things this morning, I think you'll see that it's actually an Acts 2 statement as well. But it perhaps still takes us beyond our normal experiences of the Holy Spirit.
It is quite clear from the Bible, whatever your theology is, that these are the last days. Last days of what, you might be saying? Last days of this period when God's rule continually is challenged by evil. Last days of the ability to sin and walk in disobedience to God. Last days when Jesus' reign is not fully recognized by every tribe and every tongue. What will happen next? Jesus will come back, however you understand that, and every tongue and every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Just realize that my bad English, you got an idea of a talking knee, but there we go. We may not know when, but we do know that Jesus is coming back. The victory over evil and sin has been won, and on the cross, Jesus defeated death and even evil itself. The victory is won. We're in the last days. However we may feel, we are not defeated, and we will not be defeated. No matter how tough times may get, and they can get really tough, Christians know that it's nearly over. And until Jesus returns, we're not left trying to do things on our own. We have help, the help of the Holy Spirit. Just by sort of a little diversion here, as you know, I'm not very good with technology. In fact, not very good is a bit of an understatement. Anyone who's experienced my destructive powers over technology will know that. I'm actually quite a danger to all things technological, owing to my inability to follow even simple instructions, a complete lack of patience, and the excessive gift of incompetence. Last week, my phone stopped working. And that puzzled me somewhat, because I didn't realize it wasn't working. It was still on, and I could see on my phone, because I've got an old iPhone that I managed. Anyway, never mind how we got hold of it. It was all legal. I could see all my apps, right? These different things. Now, I know you have apps for reading the Bible and probably all sorts of useful apps. I've got bad eating habit apps because I love a bargain and I do, unfortunately, not like great food sometimes. So I've got my Pizza Hut app. I've got my Subway sandwich app. And I've got my my best app of the lot, though I don't really know if I should tell you about this, my Greggs app. I'm very proud of my Greggs app. I think I'm well on my way to a free pasty. You may be saying, Keith, you're a vegetarian. You wouldn't eat a pasty. That's correct, but it's free. You see, the problem was, all these apps were still working. I could still go online with my phone. I think I could even send texts with my phone. I could get access to the website, you know, BBC News, whatever. All of this distracted me from its main fault that day, which was that it was no longer receiving or sending calls. And so distracted by what it could do, that I forgot what its main purpose was, which is, of course, to make and take calls. Makes me wonder, doesn't it? Sometimes I wonder if we've forgotten what our main purpose is. You know, so busy doing life that we've actually forgotten that we were made by a creator sent to earth in order to worship him. I'm so busy doing life that I've forgotten the meaning of life altogether. That's why Alpha got such a push here at the church. And, you know, it's not too late to come along. We're starting the first session on Thursday evening. It's not a sales pitch for Alpha. There's other courses. We're not running them just now, but we will do later, no doubt. You've got to find out what the meaning of life is. Otherwise, you're going to be continually distracted by all the things you can do and not realizing what you were supposed to do. Your main purpose can end up sidelined and forgotten. And as it is the last days, that's not a very good position to be in. Jesus wants us to find our purpose. A phone that can't make or receive calls is not really a phone, despite all the wonderful things it still could do. Unable to do anything to help the situation, I'm well aware that anything I tried to do would probably make the situation worse. I did what all middle-aged dads do when they reach my age and stage of competency. I waited until my teenage son came home. I received the help of my son. And with the help of my teenage son, my phone was restored and it was once again able to receive and take calls. Its main purpose was restored. I'm not entirely sure what Andrew did, but I think it involved doing something. He said, Dad, don't ever do this or try to do this. It seems fair enough. Sadly, in fixing the phone, Andrew removed my Greggs app, which I'm rather disappointed about, I have to say. So here we are, back in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit was promised, and it was predicted. The Holy Spirit is also necessary. To see how necessary it is, we need to think, well, what would have happened to the church if we didn't have Acts chapter 2? Do you ever do that? Just sometimes have a little bit of careful editing of the Bible and think, I wonder what would happen if we just edited this bit out. It's a little strange, a little scary. Let's take this bit out. What would happen? Well, we still have the disciples, wouldn't we? What? 11, 12? Not a great number of people. They would still face intense persecution and massive opposition. It makes you wonder, if we didn't have Acts chapter 2, would we actually have a church of any sort at all? Would it have compromised? Would it have been persecuted to extinction? Could that 12 have become the global phenomenon that we know as the church today? It seems highly unlikely. The Holy Spirit is necessary. These disciples needed the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to say here is, as we think about Acts chapter 2, what we're not talking about is an add-on. You know, it's when you buy a product, whatever the product may be. Insurance would be a good example. And then they say, would you like this as an add-on? Would you like this as an extra? Or, you know, you're going somewhere and they say, look, you're going on this flight and, you know, the seat you've chosen is really, it's one of the worst seats possible, actually. For a little bit extra, we could upgrade you into an inside seat even, you know, if it's Ryanair. Do you see the problem? The Holy Spirit is not an extra. He's not for the VIPs of the Christian world. Oh, you know, I couldn't possibly receive the Holy Spirit because, you know, I'm a bit lousy at everything. I couldn't receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not the minister up the front. I'm not one of the deacons or whatever. The Holy Spirit was there for all the disciples. To receive the Holy Spirit, the disciples simply had to be obedient to Jesus. They waited and they received. And the Holy Spirit changes these disciples from a small group who were facing tremendous opposition, tremendous difficulties, and let's face it, did not have the skill base to build anything that was going to be more than a tiny little local organization. It changes them completely. It's a very public thing. People heard these ordinary men, and we're generally assuming that most of them hadn't got much of an education, speaking into an extraordinary range of languages. You might say, well, each of them would have gone to a synagogue, so they would have had some education. I'm not saying they were illiterate or anything like that. They were from rural areas, but they didn't speak many other languages. They didn't need to. They were from Galilee on the whole. That was the language they needed. And then maybe a bit of, you know, Aramaic and stuff, maybe a bit, tiny bit of Greek possibly, but, you know, they didn't need a huge number of languages. Why would they need all these different languages? God equipped these ordinary people to share their faith in Jesus, with people from all over the known world. So people traveled in from the different bits of the Roman Empire to Jerusalem to worship. These were Jewish people on the whole who came from different parts of the empire. It's an incredible event. One which critics were quick to jump upon. Oh, that's easy to explain. They've had too much wine. Now, I'll need to leave this one to your imaginations. I don't drink wine. Obviously, just whiskey for me. But I would suspect, I don't drink that either, actually. That might help some of the talks in Italy. I suspect if I've had a few glasses of wine, I have to use it in my imagination, maybe you can think for yourselves, and I'm hopeless at French. Now, imagine if I've had a few glasses of wine. It is not going to help my English. Never mind my French. It's highly unlikely to improve. In fact, the fact that it's not improving, I just wouldn't be bothered. You know, this was not a good explanation from the critics. They needed a better explanation than that. So, too much wine, don't be ridiculous. So Peter stands up and addresses the crowd. Interesting how he does this. First, he addressed their history. This is what God said would happen. So you shouldn't really be terribly surprised. You should know the scriptures because you've been taught them since you were born. Come on, this is what was predicted. Secondly, here's your need. You need to hear the good news about Jesus. Let me pick up my Bible again, because we're going to pick up at verse 36, which we didn't read to. Well, we did. No, we didn't. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this, says Peter. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So the Holy Spirit is given to Peter and these disciples. He gives them a gift of being able to speak other languages, but it's for a purpose. It's given to followers of Jesus to enable them to share their faith, the good news about Jesus, with others. So the Holy Spirit is given with a purpose. Now, maybe they could have enjoyed impressing each other with the different languages they could now suddenly speak. You can imagine they're sort of playing around with it a bit, but it wasn't for that purpose. It was to enable them to reach out, to share with this multinational group of people who were in Jerusalem the good news about a God who made the whole world and wants to rescue it through Jesus. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the others, "What shall we do?" Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is given to every follower of Jesus. Paul, I think elsewhere, would speak about it being kind of like the seal. You're given the Holy Spirit when you choose to follow Jesus. Jesus does not force himself on anyone. If you don't, anyone here who didn't want to be forgiven, that was okay. Peter was not there to force people to follow Jesus. Much as he was passionate about Jesus, much as he knew Jesus and loved Jesus, his responsibility was to share the message. Then it becomes the responsibility of others to decide if they want to respond to that or not. God will not force himself. But when you have responded, you're sealed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. So there's a question, isn't there, for us this morning? You know, have you heard that good news? Has anyone ever explained it in such a way that it makes sense in your language? Sometimes I think today, as Christians, we don't necessarily need the gift of foreign languages, because there's quite a lot of Christians abroad in these places we used to send missionaries, but we still need the language of being able to speak into our culture. To speak in a way that people can actually understand Jesus' good news. He's not for the educated or those who can speak big, long words. He's just Jesus, and he's just good news. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's great. You're sealed with the Spirit. But have you invited Jesus into your life in his first place? Have you accepted his forgiveness? Has it made sense to you in that way? When I became a Christian, and it's quite a wee while ago now, must be said, I knew things had changed. I've already said to you, I was brought up going to church, and the church I went to, we didn't speak about the Holy Spirit. I said maybe one or two hymns, there was the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't really spoken about, not in any way that made sense to me. Thing was, even though I knew my life had totally changed as a Christian, I would never have stood up and done anything like this before becoming a Christian. I was a very quiet person. Jesus changed, and it felt different. Everything was different about my life. But even after that, we didn't really speak a lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it was some sort of reaction to things in Scotland. I don't know why that was the case, but it was mentioned very, very little. Went to a Baptist church, got baptized, very rarely did we hear about the Holy Spirit. Not saying we didn't hear about the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that, but there wasn't a lot of mention of it. I don't know why exactly. It was actually only when I started working with the church and we started doing offer that I actually learned considerably more about the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh, that would explain why that happened. There's a possibility you could just walk around with the Holy Spirit in you, but not actually be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns us not to grieve the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4, verse 40, by living a life that isn't transformed. Hence, we say about being encountered and transformed. You can encounter Jesus, but you just go and live in the same way. Do you know what? That's not really being transformed. There's no point in being a Christian if we live as though it doesn't make any difference at all. Instead of going around untransformed, we're to be filled with the Spirit. In our lives, we're to know more and more of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit, what might that be? That love it speaks of, joy and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we pray for more of that in our lives. We come together as church and things change. Acts 2, verse 42. What kind of place did this become? They devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship. All right, I'm just going to measure myself up a little bit against this. Maybe you want to do the same. You know, are you filled with the Spirit? Let's do a little bit of measuring here. Are you devoted to teaching and to fellowship? You know, this is the number one choice on Sunday. All right? Your family's coming around. I'm still coming to church. You know, kids' party's on Sunday morning. Sorry, kids. You ain't going to the party. We're going to church. They'll stop crying after a week or so. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Oh, there's an interesting one. How am I measuring up against that? You know, prayer. Everyone was filled with all the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Oh, this is getting really interesting. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Oh, he's challenging our finances as well as everything else. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It doesn't look like they had a sort of checklist of who was in need. Were you a deserving person or not? Were you likely to be a nice person or not? Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Oh, there's so much in here. You could go home and make this like a massive talk in its own right, couldn't you? Enjoyed the favor of all people. Not just those who believe, but everyone who saw them said, there's something different about this group of people. There's something appealing. Because the Spirit of God has filled their lives. And the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. Isn't that incredible? How do we measure up against that? We've got to sort of say we need more and more of you, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing to be part of a church like that? Because that's the invite Jesus makes to us today, isn't it? To accept him and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things we talk about at Alpha is this Holy Spirit. And it's quite challenging. It's challenging to anyone. You've been a Christian a little while or just kind of finding out about things. You've been Christian a long time. And there's a sense in which, you know, you can grow around with the Holy Spirit having sealed you, but not actually being filled with the Spirit, not actually having realized that God can do something even more amazing in your life if you just let him. Not having recognized what God can do. Sometimes when we talk about that, we talk about one of those old-fashioned, must be said now, gas central heating boilers, you know, where the pilot light is always on. So there's always kind of a sign that it's alive, it's there, it's functioning. However, we know if we want hot water or hot heating, that it needs more than just that little pilot light, doesn't it? It needs to go kind of woof. I don't know all the technical stuff, but it needs to be filled up, to be fired up. And maybe this morning you're thinking here, well, you know, actually I have followed Jesus, but just the idea of being like this Acts 2 church, where everything like this is happening, that just seems so remote from my experience of Jesus at the moment. But you know, I would really love to be part of a church like that. Well, the only way we're going to be part of a church like that is for each of us to be filled with the Spirit, isn't it? To let God go, technical term, woof, in our lives. Or maybe it's a bit like me, just had to recognize that. God had already gone woof, but he had no idea because he hadn't got the language to express it. So we're going to take a bit of time to respond today because it's good to do so. This is an ideal opportunity to just say to God, you know, I want to be part of this church. I want to see these amazing things that you can do in our lives where we're generous to those in need, where we are excited about learning from you and becoming more like you, where we realize actually that time is short, so it's excitement. It's really, really good. We're looking forward to that new season when the old will be gone and the new in Jesus Christ will be fully here. Until that day comes, Lord, I'm not going to try and do this no more on my own. I'm going to let you be God. I'm going to let your Spirit truly fill my life. The other way someone said, Keith, don't forget this, they said, is, you know, like when the Spirit comes into you, it can be like a leaky bucket being filled. You know, we don't just have this once. Paul speaks of it being a continuous process that we need to continually ask God to fill us because we give out in our lives. We do things, we work hard, we get distracted, we do all sorts of things, and the bucket goes down and down and down, and we need to ask God to fill us up. Maybe a watering can's a bit like an illustration. Maybe you've got your own particular illustration. We leak, says someone, so come on, let's ask God to fill us afresh with his Spirit. We're going to just stand together as Michael's going to lead us in a song, then Becky's going to lead us in a bit of prayer, a bit of responding to what God can be up to just now.